Spotify.
Hello. Thank you for choosing the Lackadaisical Libriculobiculorist podcast. Without further delay, here is your host, Jordan Maywood.
Hello! Welcome to the Liberal Cube. My name is Jordan Maywood, and I am the Lackadaisical Liberal Tuberculist. Today, within the Liberal Cube, is Monday. Movie Monday, specifically. Not just regular Monday. We're going to tag on movies to that to make it slightly more bearable. Movie Monday. Yes, yes, yes. Something I like to say at the top of every show, although I do believe, probably for me at least, most importantly on a Movie Monday, is that there will be spoilers. Folks, I am going to spoil things. Spoiler warning completed. Ass covered. Another thing I like to say is that if you like what you hear, the only payment I ask is $1 million. No, that is ridiculous. The only payment I ask is perhaps you pass the podcast on to a friend. Perhaps you rate, subscribe, and comment in iTunes, because that is what helps others find the podcast. There you go. Easy as one, two, do those things. Last piece of podcast-related business before we hop into the moviness is today's sponsor. Today's sponsor is the McCain and Gump Imported Russian Chocolates Company, Incorporated. Once again, today's sponsor is the McCain and Gump Imported Russian Chocolates, where our motto is, yippee-ki-yay, these taste okay. Okay, for you, for your listening pleasure, question mark on the end of that, I do not know, hence needing the ratings in iTunes. There you go. That's how I'm looking at that. I have two movies, two and two alone, so my plan is to get them done on the way to work. So it's what you call a shorter than a fuller episode. Is my plan. Just on that note, TV Tuesday, that is also my plan. Also, if I end up having a book Wednesday, that will be my plan, because I am having all of these short episodes, because this is a short week for me, because at the end of it, Friday, in fact, I will be heading on down to Fan Expo. So, what I actually wanted to do, and luckily remembered to do, despite not writing it down, is to sort of tease for my episodes this week that over the course of Fan Expo, I will be doing some recording of podcast. So, there you go. There's the tease for that, and hopefully it will be well received, as my Toronto Comic Con edition was. So, thank you for those who listened to that. It is available for you listening to this, if you so care, to listen to it. Oh boy. Movie the first is called A Good Day to Die Hard. This combines a Die Hard movie title with the Klingon phrase, today is a good day to die. Unfortunately, John McClane is not battling Klingons at Worf's side, because that would be a good movie. That's a movie I would pay to see, let me tell you. But no, this is your... Is it your typical Die Hard movie? No, I don't think it is. I think it is a typical action movie, firmly entrenched in the typicalness of action-related films, like the apparent car chase I'm getting into right now. If you can hear my motor running, I'm trying to pass a truck. Passing complete. Haha, I am John McCain. Yeah. Take that, Russians. John McCain in this one was... basically, how you can look at it, battling the Russians. The Russian, and I'm going to quote this, underground. Ooh. Not the above-ground Russians, but the ones that are underground. Those are the bad ones. You know, because they're underground, and only bad things are underground. Yeah, this is just sort of... it wasn't great. I'm going to go 3 out of 5 for my rating. Unprofessional, not waiting for the end of the review to give my rating, as I do quite often, so that A, I don't forget to do it, that's kind of the most important, and B, you can kind of tell where I'm coming from as I say other things about it. Basically, it's... I think the problem is with franchises of action movies is that each successive movie has to be sort of more over-the-top than the last, which is a kind of a losing proposition, I think. John McClane in the first Die Hard, you kind of feel like, okay, this is a regular guy, and these events, although slightly action-packed, are within the realm of possibility. But the further you go along in these series, the more sort of ridiculous the action gets. Now, from a purely ridiculous action standpoint, this movie is better than the first one, but now it just sort of feels like any action movie that's out there. It doesn't have that sort of Die Hard-esque feel to it. I think my favorite Die Hard movie, though, was the one with Samuel L. Jackson 3, I believe that was. It had still your sort of everyman John McClane with sort of a mixture here and there of the crazy over-the-top action. And it had, I think, the perfect ratio of that. Plus Samuel L. Jackson, friggin' the two of them together, awesome, combining laughs and a grudging respect for one another building over the course of the movie. Just a brilliant idea. In this one, he teams up, Bruce Willis teams up with his son. Was his son in the last one? I don't really remember. Or is this our sort of first introduction to him? The father and son vibe, I think that's a good idea. I think it worked well for the most part. And again, it had that feel of a grudging respect building over the course of the movie between the two of them. They did not get along, for the most part, and that's good in an action movie. You actually don't want your protagonists in an action movie getting along 100%. It would make it not as good. So apparently, John McClane is on his way over to Russia to visit his son. He is on vacation. The reason we know he's on vacation, because at least three times during the course of an action scene, he yells out, "I'm on vacation!" So that's sort of an ongoing quote-unquote joke. It's a joke. Another sort of tried and true is the old yippee-ki-yay motherfucker that reared its head once. Did it need to? Yeah, sure. I think a lot of people who see this movie are going to be people who have not seen the first movie or the first movies, just because there's such a long time period between movies, so they might not even get that. I don't know. There is at the beginning of the movie, a sort of gratuitous car chase scene, which, as far as car chase scenes go, was a very, very good one, and had lots of cool shit happen. Thing I like about a good car chase is things you have never seen in car chases happening in car chases. That's what I look for more than anything. And there was some of that. There was, I'm not going to give away too much of the, again, I'll just say, quote-unquote, story, because there is, I suppose, a story, although it's not very good. Within the story, there is crosses and double crosses and triple crosses and unexpected things happen, which usually in a movie, I even talked about this last movie Monday, when things happen in movies that I did not see coming, I really like it. This one, despite the fact they are things you probably did not see coming, it just didn't do it for me as it normally did. Okay, so I think that is enough said as far as A Good Day to Die Hard. We'll just sort of leave it with the thought that it is an action movie. It is a good action movie, but it does not feel like a Die Hard movie. It feels like you could put any action characters in this and it wouldn't have made any difference. Okay? 3 to 5. Next movie is Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, if I am spoiling this for you and you have not seen Forrest Gump yet, you are a weirdo. Now, on the one hand, I'm a big fan of weirdos, but if your being a weirdo involves not watching the movie Forrest Gump yet, that is strange of you. I think everyone has seen this movie. I've decided that this is the perfect Sunday movie. It's a good movie any day of the week, but on a Sunday, when you are, as I was this Sunday, a little hungover, it is perfect. Just God damn perfect! I don't know why I got upset there. Just sort of on the note of it being a perfect Sunday movie, it is also a very, very good book. I recommend the book highly. Read it quite a number of years ago, probably over a decade ago. The book has very, very, well, some. It's got very little in common with the movie, let's just say. There's some connective tissue, but it's quite different and still very, very good. So recommend that. The book, from what I recall of reading it a decade ago, will go like 4 out of 5, maybe some 5 out of 5 moments. Huh? Not bad. The movie, if somehow you don't know, stars Mr. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, who is one of my favorite actors. I don't think he has done a bad movie. Not that I can think of. No, not off the top of my head. And sort of another reason he is on my favorites list is that he is sort of widely known as being a super, super nice guy. So, as we end every podcast with, it's nice to be nice to the nice, I do like nice people. Hey, there's a math involved there. That is even simple. Simple enough that I could do it. So if you're unfamiliar with the movie starring Tom Hanks, it is about Gump. Forrest Gump is his name. He is a little slow. Some may say stupid, to which he would reply, stupid is as stupid does. Not sure what that means exactly, but hey, it doesn't have to make sense because it's a charming saying that his mama used to tell him. Probably 3/4 of the movie or so, if I had to guess, involves him sitting on a bus bench, just shooting the shit with random strangers, telling them his life story. Which was kind of a cool way to go about it, actually, now that I think about it. So it would periodically cut back to him sitting on this bus. The stranger may or may not be someone else, sort of interchanging strangers. As he would shoot out his life story into their ear holes to great effect. Many of them would become sort of enwrapped because he led a extremely interesting life. And life, as you may know, segue, is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Haha! For example, his mother ran a like a boarding house back in the whatever that was, 50s or 60s. One of her boarders was none other than Mr. Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, who learned his shimmy and shake, patented, from Forrest Gump, because Forrest had to have on leg braces, so when he danced to Elvis's music, he had that sort of patented shimmy to his steps. Haha! Interesting idea. For example, because his legs ended up being so incredibly strong, he was super fast. He was a fast man, which allowed him to play on football teams, including college football teams, despite the fact that he would probably not otherwise be in college due to the fact that he is, as I say, a little bit slow. So he was going to, I guess, was it Alabama University or some such? When the sort of integration happening, allowing black students into what was before an only white school. So he sort of just, kind of the feel of it is accidentally in the presence of great historic events without realizing himself that he has any sort of bearing on them whatsoever. And this was when this movie came out at the time. It was sort of, people's minds were blown away because it was one of the earliest and most amazing examples of special effects as far as a couple of things. For example, putting Forrest, a.k.a. Tom Hanks, into situations being filmed at the time where, obviously, he was not actually in real life. For example, he met a great quantity of the presidents, so they would sort of take footage of former presidents and then interstitch Forrest Gump into them as if he was actually there in real life. And you can kind of see some of it. It shows its age a little bit. basically only in sort of mouth movements as far as what the presidents are saying. You can kind of see it looks a little wibbly-wobbly, but other than that, it's still pretty amazing. Another example is Forrest ends up going to Vietnam and fighting in Vietnam. There he meets Lieutenant Dan, played by Gary Sinise. Lieutenant Dan eventually loses his legs, as quite a number of soldiers did. So, from that point on, Gary Sinise, in the movie, has his legs removed. Not literally removed, because you probably have to pay your actors a lot to remove their limbs. No. Removed through computer graphics. And that right there, I remember when this came out, they had a lot of, like, how-to, behind-the-scenes kind of action showing how they did that. Green screens and what have you. That is flawless. Like, you cannot tell that he does not have legs. And that still, despite it being one of the first attempts at anything like that, stands up. No problem. While in Vietnam, he met Bubba. Bubba, his pal, his Vietnam buddy. Can I give away that Bubba dies? If you have not seen Forrest Gump yet, you are a weirdo, and I did give a spoiler warning regardless. So to sort of honor his memory, Bubba, the great lover of shrimp and the shrimp and business, Forrest decides to take up where Bubba would have left off and start a shrimping boat organization. At first, it's just one boat. However, through a series of fortunate for him, unfortunate for others events, he eventually has a fleet of shrimp boats. What? Bubba Gump Shrimp Company springs forth from this. Eventually, Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan, is put in charge of this fleet, uses some of the monies made from the fleet to invest in various things, things such as the Apple Corporation. So eventually, and I don't remember if this happened in the book, eventually Forrest is sort of a super, super rich man and can live kind of a life of leisure. I probably could spend more time talking about this. However, I'm at work, so I guess I cannot. Let's just say they all lived happily ever after, and by they, I mean Forrest, and I mean Jenny. Jenny, who's sort of his on-again, off-again love interest, let's call her, throughout the course of the film. Did I get my rating? I did. 5 out of 5 on any day, but some goddamn 6 out of 5 feelings oozing from me on a Sunday watching this while hungover. I will tell you that. I'm at work. I will stop talking. Movie Monday completed. Folks, thank you for listening. And of course, I have to say that it is nice to be nice to the nice.
Thank you for listening. This has been another edition of the Lackadaisical Libra-Cubical Wrist. We here in the Liberal Cube would love to hear from you. If for any reason you would like to contact us, you can do so via the email address, maywood.jordan@gmail.com. And now I have a theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. Something isn't right there.
I've got a theory.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine.
Live long and prosper.